May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In John 5:19, Jesus says this about himself and his relationship to the Father. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them repeatedly, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father is doing, these things the Son does also." In verse 30 of the same chapter, he says, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." In John chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus therefore said, beginning in verse 26, "I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I have heard from him, these things I speak to the world." They did not realize that he was speaking to them about the Father, and Jesus answered therefore to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak the things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me, and he is never leaving me alone." In John 12:49, "For I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandments what to speak and what to say." And then John 14:10, "Do not believe that I am in the Father. Don't you believe this? And the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works." Jesus said repeatedly in those verses several things that are significant. One, he said he did nothing on his own initiative. So even though he was God, he laid that right down. We've said that many times. And he was totally surrendered to the Father in submission to him as a man. He also says that, therefore, anything that he did, it was because the Father was initiating it by the Holy Spirit. He only spoke those things. He heard the Father speaking. He only did those things he saw the Father doing. In the scripture we've looked at a lot in John chapter 3, Jesus says that what I've seen and heard, I manifest, or I bear witness of. What he sees and hears about the Father and the activity of the Father and the reality of the kingdom of heaven, those are the things that he bore witness of. And in thinking about that and talking about that a lot lately, just how Jesus lived his life as a Son of Man, how he modeled to us, again, he wasn't just an example for us, he was an example of us. Jesus was the second Adam. He lived life as humanity is intended to live. He was tempted in every way like in us, yet without sin. And he carried in him the presence of the Father by the Holy Spirit and lived a life of faith. He was the author and the perfecter of faith. And when I see him as the Son of Man and how he cultivated relationship with his Father at such a level that Jesus was able to say, "I don't do anything on my own initiative. Nothing." And so he was able to recognize every time the Holy Spirit, the Father by the Holy Spirit, was initiating anything to say and anything he was supposed to do. That's a remarkable union, oneness, being played out to such a degree that Jesus said in that John 14:10 passage, says, "Don't you know that there's this mutual dwelling? I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. And the words that I speak, I don't speak on my own initiative, but the Father does his works through me." Just amazing reality. But I think the passage in John 1 that Ron read kind of gives us real insight into how this relationship walked out. How Jesus, as a man, cultivated such union, such oneness experientially with his Father. In John 1, remember what Jesus came to do. Jesus' calling is like our calling. Jesus came to be Father-like. we're called to be Christ-like. And Jesus' anointing and his calling was to reveal the likeness of the Father, to disclose to everybody the true nature of God, that they would finally see the truth about God, that he's full of grace. So this is verses again that Ron read. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he comes after me, has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Jesus was the truth because he revealed the fact that the Father was a Father of grace. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Jesus came to explain or to reveal the likeness of the Father. Jesus says, "The Father sent me, so send I you." We're called to reveal the likeness of Jesus. New Testament says we're called to be Christ-like, not by imitation, but by manifestation, by participation in his life, by the Holy Spirit, and manifestation of his life in us and through us. But here's what I love what it says about Jesus. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. I think Ron read the ESV, which is a good version, but not super good. And it says, like, and he was by the side of the Father, or he was near him, or walked with him. The language is what it says here. This Jesus who is in the bosom of the Father, the breast of the Father. The word "in" here is actually the word "into." And what literally it says, in this Jesus who is into the breast of the Father, he has revealed the likeness of the Father. There are two other places in Scripture that kind of give something like that. One of them, if you remember, is in John 13, the first Eucharist. I saw a wonderful thing. This is, stop, here's a little pause. I saw this wonderful thing on Facebook. There was a sign in the middle of the church, and it's about, because the people were leaving early before the service was over. And it was a Catholic church. They used the word Mass instead of Eucharist, which is a good word. And it says, "Don't leave the church early. Even Judas left before the Mass was over," which is true. So that's just extra. Don't leave church early. Jesus said about John, he laid his head on the breast of Jesus. And from that point forward, his life was never the same. His identity was changed. He was once called one of the sons of thunder because he had such a fiery personality. But from that point forward, he's referred to and referred to himself as the one whom Jesus was always loving. And historically, he's called John the Beloved. And nobody wrote more about the love of God than John. The Gospel of John, he's the one who said in 1 John, "God is love." And so many instances where John gives revelation of the true nature of God's heart, that God's love, that God's a God of grace. Because he laid his head on the breast of Jesus. And in doing that, he heard the heartbeat spiritually, emotionally, of Christ. I believe that that's how Jesus lived his life on earth. Because hear the language. The only begotten of God, Jesus, it says, who is into the bosom or the breast of the Father. The language is that he was always leaning into his Father's heart. And then the very next thing he says, and he's explained him. How, as the Son of Man, was Jesus able to so release and reveal the likeness of the Father? It says in Hebrews that he was the exact representation of him. Revealed the radiance of God. How did that happen? How did Jesus get to a place as a man where his senses were so sensitive that he knew every time the Father was initiating something, that he could only did what he saw the Father doing and only said what he heard the Father saying. How could Jesus, how could any person get that close? Because he lived his life leaning into the heart of his Father. It all flowed out of intimacy, relationship. Here's a wonderful place. It's been one of my favorites for a long time. When Moses was blessing all the 12 tribes of Israel, he says this about Benjamin. This is Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. And of Benjamin, he said, may the beloved of the Lord. Isn't that a great title for you? Like, and of James, it said, he's the beloved of the Lord. And may the beloved of the Lord dwell securely. Dwell in security by him, who shields him all day long, and he, James, lives, dwells between the shoulders of God. Isn't that a great blessing? If you ever want to claim a blessing in Scripture, claim the blessing of Benjamin. That you'd be the beloved of God, you'd know that in your own consciousness, and you would live your life dwelling on the breast of God. That's Jesus. He lived his life leaning into the breast of the Father. See, here's the deal. You can go to all the conferences in the world and get zapped, bounce off the floor, skip across the pews. But in the end, it's a relationship. And a relationship has to be cultivated. You say, yeah, but that was Jesus. We can't expect that kind of union with us. Jesus did. Four different times in his last conversation with his disciples before he was crucified, four different times he says, you ask anything in my name and the Father will do it. Wow. That's crazy. 100% answer prayer, anything? Because you're so in tune with him, you know how to pray according to his will every single time? Sounds like the life that Jesus had with the Father. But all of it flowed out of living your life, leaning into the breast of Jesus. And that's not just about being dependent. That's about being intimate. That means priority. That takes time. That means being alone with God. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.